is correct. And all of us are going out of here at the first of the week, if we're saved, then I haven't done anybody any harm. And if the middle of the week is correct, and we're going to only be here for the first supposed 3.5 years of tribulation period, I haven't done anybody any harm. But if that isn't true, then quite frankly, I think what I'm presenting may help people. Now, this has cost me a great deal of popularity, and there was a time when that meant a great deal to me. But quite frankly, in all honesty, what God has to say and what I believe and what I feel convicted to teach means a lot more to me now. And I really am concerned about people who think that God's going to pull all of his people out of here, everybody that's saved, regardless of the way they've lived, right at the beginning of the tribulation period, and we don't have a thing in the world to be concerned about. Because we most assuredly do. Now, during the course of all this, this is basically what I've been teaching and what I'm convinced about concerning Daniel 9:27. As I've said each night, if B.H. Carroll and most of the old preachers before 1830 had not believed this, I would be out on a limb and I would be questioning myself about it. But I give you my word, and it's the truth. Before I discovered this strictly by synoptic analysis of that ninth chapter of Daniel, and then years later, when I discovered B.H. Carroll believed it, it was readily acceptable by me because I saw that somebody had come to that conclusion long before I did. Jesus came as Messiah the Prince to confirm the Abrahamic covenant. He began the last of Daniel's 70 weeks by confirming it through the beginning of his ministry. His ministry started at his baptism. His baptism pictured his life, death, burial, and resurrection. It presented a picture of what he would eventually do to fulfill all righteousness. His death, burial, and resurrection did that for all of us. It's our faith in that that imputes to us his righteousness. When he came to John for baptism in AD 27, it had been 69 weeks, 483 years, since Artaxerxes Longimanus had issued the proclamation allowing Israel to rebuild, to return and rebuild. His baptism, which was the age the law required a man to be before he began his service as a temple priest, that's the age he had reached. When he was cut off after his baptism, in the midst of 7 years, he caused the temple mound sacrifice and oblation to cease as an acceptable form of worship and made the temple spiritually desolate until the consummation of this Gentile age, at which time his determined wrath will be poured out in 7 vials on all those desolate of his spirit. I would say that at least 97% of all the preachers on this earth, regardless of what faith they happen to be in, believe in Daniel 9:27 when it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week," that the "he" refers back to the prince that shall come in the previous verse, and that prince that shall come, they firmly believe is the Antichrist. Now, regardless of what you think of this statement, and you can say I'm wrong, and that's no problem, but I'm absolutely positive that he does not refer back to a Roman prince, but it refers back to the one that the whole discourse is about, Jesus, Messiah, the Prince. And the covenant it's referring to is the only covenant that Jesus could have confirmed, and the Antichrist certainly cannot confirm it. I believe that he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, is none other than Jesus Christ. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. I believe in the middle of Daniel's 69th week, his sacrifice caused the sacrifice and oblation offered on the Temple Mount to cease in the sense that it was no longer accepted by God. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. I believe the overspreading of abominations are clearly outlined in his two different cleansings of the Temple Mount, where he drove off the money changers and those who were defiling the Temple Mount. That was the overspreading of abomination, and he made that temple mound spiritually desolate in God's eyes. And that was to something that was to continue until the very end of this age, even until the consummation. That is the consummation of this age in which we are now living, the church age, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior are spiritually desolate, and the wrath of God is going to be poured out on them after the blowing of the seventh trumpet, because they are not going to be taken out when Jesus comes. Now, I've gone through this, and I've talked about it at length. Daniel 9, 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, upon the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, and the 70 weeks are weeks of years. 70 years times 7 weeks is 490 years. So 490 years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Now on Sunday morning I'm talking about each one of those things and when it was fulfilled or when it will be fulfilled. Then he begins to talk about the one who's going to do all this. He begins in verse 25 to talk about the one who's going to finish the transgression, the one who's going to make an end of sin, the one who's going to make reconciliation for iniquity, the one who's going to bring in everlasting righteousness, and the sealing of the vision and prophecy, and that's also covered in the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and to anoint the most holy being Jesus Christ. So in verse 25, he continues to talk about Messiah the Prince. That is the subject of this entire discourse. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's a total of 69 weeks, 483 years. He said from the time that this proclamation is issued until Messiah starts his ministry will be 483 years. 69 weeks of years, 483 years. Sure enough, in 27 A.D., at age 30, Jesus shows up to be baptized by John the Baptist. And it was exactly 483 years from the time that Artaxerxes Longimanus had issued his proclamation that they could go back and build the streets and the wall again. Now, I want you to notice in verse 26, he says, and after 62 weeks. Now, that is merely a continuation of the addition that was culminated in the verse before. Shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. He doesn't mean that after the 62 weeks, but before the 7 weeks occurs, this will happen. He means after the 62 weeks, understanding that the other week has already been added in. So actually, after 69 weeks, that's 483 years, shall Messiah be cut off. He was cut off after that, in the middle of the last week, but not for himself. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was not cut off for his sins. Didn't have any. He was cut off for our sins. Then he tells what will happen after that. He says, and the people of the prince that shall come. The reason he didn't just say, and the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The prince that came was Titus, the Roman emperor Titus. And he brought an army with him that was a Roman army. But it was mainly consisting of Syrian recruits that they had picked up and put them in Roman uniform, called them Roman soldiers. But in any case, it was a Roman legion. But the reason he says the people of the prince that shall come is that Titus had no intention whatsoever of burning and destroying the temple. His men got carried away, went in and started looting it and set fire to it, and his people actually destroyed it. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That they did. They leveled the city of Jerusalem AD 70, 40 years after Jesus indicated it would occur. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. Surely it was. The flood in the Bible is constantly and consistently pictured as a great army coming in like a flood comes in and covers an area, a flood of men coming across. They overran the Temple Mount. All this is recorded in the writings of Josephus quite accurately in history. And he says, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with a flood. They came in and overrun it. The war lasted from about A.D. 69 to A.D. 73. The temple was overrun in A.D. 70, and I believe Masada fell in A.D. 73. And until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Terrible, horrible desolations occurred. And the final desolation was when Masada fell, and all the men in Masada died mostly by suicide. And the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, in verse 27, he is not referring back to the people of the prince that shall come. He's talking about the same one he's talked about all the way through this discourse, Messiah the Prince. And he, Messiah the Prince, shall confirm the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, with many for 1 week, Daniel's last week. And in the midst of the week, that is in the middle part of it, he, Messiah the Prince, shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. It will no longer be acceptable to God because Christ will have offered himself, and the sacrifice and oblation will no longer be necessary. And for the overspreading of abominations, Jesus going in and cleaning the Temple Mount, he shall make it desolate, spiritually desolate. God no longer accepts anything from it. Even until the consummation of this age, then God will allow the temple to be rebuilt, and once again, the Jewish worship will be accepted. What's going to happen in the last part of the tribulation period? And that determines shall be poured upon the desolate, the spiritually desolate. So when he says in the midst of the week, it means in the actual fourth year, the 1, 2, 3, then 4, then 5, 6, 7, in the fifth year, such that 1,335 days remain. Now there's a reason for that 1,335 days, which I'll cover later. Now, the work of the Lamb, and of the Lion. So we've gone through Daniel 9:27, and I've been making a case to show that is Jesus. That is not the Antichrist it's referring to in there. The work of the Lamb made the temple and its sacrifices desolate of God's Spirit. The work of the Lamb made the temple and its sacrifices desolate to God's Spirit. The work of the Lion will be his wrath poured out upon those desolate of God's Spirit at the consummation of this age. So if you look back at Daniel 9:27, the work of the Lamb made the temple and its sacrifices desolate of God's Spirit. The work of the Lion, when he comes back as the Lion of Judah at the end of the tribulation period, will be his wrath poured out upon those desolate of God's Spirit at the consummation of this age. Christ confirmed the covenant of Abraham at his baptism in AD 27. He was age 30. And began the last week of Daniel's 70th week of years. But he was cut off in the midst of the week after 1,185 days, leaving 1,335 days to be fulfilled. When Israel can finally say peace and safety or peace and security, then the 1,335 days begin. There will be peace for about 2.5 months, somewhere right around 75 days. Then an Islamic confederation will attack Israel from the north. I believe that's consistent with the Scripture. I believe it fits the Scripture. Could I be wrong? Yeah, I could be wrong about that, about the timing of it and things of that nature. But I'm not wrong about this thing having to do with Daniel 9:27. What were these abominations that led to his declaring it desolate? And he said, and for the overspreading of abominations, he, Messiah the Prince, shall make it desolate, not the Antichrist. The Temple Mount has already been made desolate. That's why I'm constantly besieged everywhere I go with this idea. I'm constantly besieged with people saying the temple has to be rebuilt before Jesus comes. No, it doesn't. The temple does not have to be rebuilt before Jesus comes. They say, well, it has to be rebuilt, and they use this scripture. They say, see, in order for the Antichrist to make the temple desolate, the temple has to be rebuilt. There's only one problem. The Antichrist is not the one who's going to make it desolate. When were these abominations that led to his declaring it desolate? What were they? Matthew 21:12-13. And Jesus went into the temple of God. This is the final cleansing. There were two cleansings. This is the final one. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. We're told in the Old Testament that this Messiah, the Prince, would come suddenly to his temple, and that those who were there would not be able to withstand his cleansing like a fuller's instrument. This is very clearly outlined in the Old Testament. That's exactly what he did. And for this, he made it desolate. How long was the Temple Mount to remain desolate? Daniel 9:27e, even until the consummation, of this present age in which we live. In Luke 21:24, we see 40 years after Jesus uttered his prophecy, what happened? Jesus, in his own prophecy that he issued from the Temple Mount, told about what would happen some 40 years after his demise. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, Israel, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. This prophecy is for Jerusalem until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. How long was the Temple Mount to remain desolate? Well, in 1967, the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled for all practical purposes for the Temple Mount. But the consummation of this age is still yet to come. Romans 11:25. There is a difference between a prophecy about when Jerusalem will have its times fulfilled and when Israel is once again considered God's nation. Romans 11:25. But I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, yes, ye should be blind in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's the consummation of this age. And the temple is going to be desolate until that time. The Bible language does not necessarily dictate that a temple has to be rebuilt. When I was younger, I used to say, the Bible language does not dictate, does not mandate that a temple has to be rebuilt. And then I would quickly follow it up and say, but I think it will be. Well, I've changed my mind. Not only does it not mandate that a temple be rebuilt, I don't think it will be before Jesus comes, because most preachers believe it will be based on that Daniel 9:27, because they believe that the one that's going to confirm the covenant, make the sacrifice and oblation cease, and cause the desolations is the Antichrist. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I bow before God, knowing I'm a stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't see how in heaven's name that could possibly be correct. I've spent too much time in this to believe otherwise. And it makes a tremendous difference, because it affects the entire outlook on prophecy. And these preachers are now saying that the temple has to be rebuilt. It does not have to be rebuilt before Jesus comes. And the more I've studied the Bible, I've changed my mind. The problem with some preachers, and quite frankly, at times with myself, is that they won't change their mind. Well, I'm guilty of changing my mind quite frequently if I can see where I was wrong. And I was wrong. I was wrong to say that it might be rebuilt. I don't think it's got a snowball's chance of being rebuilt until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's the consummation of this age. Now, he goes on, continuing in Daniel 9:27, and says, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What was the final action of God at the end of the consummation? He says, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, what was made desolate? The temple. It was made physically desolate by Titus. But it was made spiritually desolate, by, which is far more important, some 40 years earlier by Jesus. And from the time that that temple was made desolate and God would no longer accept their sacrifices and offerings, it will not be made active again until Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom and the millennial temple is built. It will not be made active again until that time. What's going to happen at the end of the tribulation theory? And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Israel is desolate. I guarantee you that out of the, right now, there are 5.1 million Jews. When I first started talking about it, there were 4.8. There's about 5.1 million. Only about 1.7 million of those are going to survive. Brother, that's what's determined to be poured upon Israel. But it's also going to be poured on all believers who are spiritually destitute of Christ. Israel is spiritually destitute of their messianic promise in Jesus. But all unbelievers are spiritually desolate. And this is what's going to be poured out on them. Luke 21:25-27. Now remember, we just finished with Luke 21:24. And we have all of Israel being led away into captivity. And the temple mound being under the condemnation until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. For that, not the fullness, but till the times the Gentiles be fulfilled for controlling that temple mound. That occurred in 1967. But this is coming shortly, because this involves the very latter portion of the tribulation period. These are the vials of wrath. This is what will be determined upon the desolate after the rapture occurs on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. Luke 21:25-27. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, I've had people tell me, oh, Brother Michael Murray, that's already being fulfilled. Look at all these heart attacks we're having, all these failures. I'm just going to put it to you bluntly. As many times as I've studied that, as much as I know about how the earth is put together, and as much as I can vision the hell that's going to come on it when God begins to shift these tectonic plates, brother, it's beyond my grasp and imagination. But I guarantee you, their hearts will be failing them, and it'll be genuine heart attack of some pretty healthy hearts. Because when this happens, we're talking about the very last part of the tribulation period. We're talking about the vials of wrath. We're talking about they've had it. I don't believe anybody's going to be saved after the seventh trumpet, except those that God brings through the tribulation period physically to begin his millennial reign. It's going to be a physical preservation rather than a spiritual preservation. 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Daniel 9, 27. If that determines shall be poured upon the desolate. And that's spiritual destitution, spiritually desolate. I think this is what it's talking about. And that determines shall be poured upon the desolate. Revelation 16, 16 through 21. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. This is the last vial. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices, phonos, noises, thunders, and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations, that's plural, cities of the nations fell. These tectonic plates are interconnected all over this earth. You're going to see every major city on the surface of this planet sustain major damage in the tribulation period. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon, Rome, came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fury of the feast, of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away. It means they moved horizontally. And the mountains were not found. It means after this is all over, they won't be having the same set of geographical and longitudinal, latitudinal coordinates. And there fell upon men a great hail, colossa, out of heaven. Every stone, these are stones out of volcanoes, about the weight of a talent. Will there be hail that large? I wouldn't question it one bit. God can build a hailstone of ice very easily in the way that the turbulence and violence in these thunderstorms is going to be. But I think those are volcanic stones. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. I think it's this particular time that he's talking about. When it says, and that determines shall be poured upon the desolate. It's talking about what's going to be poured upon those who are destitute of God's Spirit after the seventh trumpet blows and the seven vials of wrath are poured out. For then shall be great tribulation, Matthew 24, 21, 22, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh, notice what it says, no flesh, no flesh, no flesh, no flesh, no flesh. There should no flesh be saved. But some flesh is going to come through it. 1/6 of the Antichrist army, or some of the world's population will come through it. But for the elect's sake, and I think it's talking about the elects in the desert, in the Negev wilderness, those days shall be shortened. Daniel 11, 45 to 12, 1. This is the end of the Antichrist in Daniel 11, 45. He comes back out of Egypt, where he has fled in previous verses, established his kingdom there for 3.5 years, and then he comes back because he gets disturbing news from the north and from the east, which I've covered many times. And he, the Antichrist, Daniel 11, 45, shall plant the tabernacles. The God-breathed word for tabernacles is ohel. There's no place in the Bible does ohel ever mean anything except a tent or a pavilion. Nothing ever means anything other than that. And he shall plant the tents of his palace. The God-breathed word for palace is apodin. It does not mean a temple. It means a command post, a command pavilion. It is not a temple. He's going to put it on the place where the temple once sat. I do not believe the temple will be rebuilt. For a long time, I couldn't make up my mind because I just didn't have enough information from the Bible. I hadn't been able to glean a lot of things from it. It wasn't the Bible's fault. It was mine. But I do not believe the temple will be rebuilt. And he shall plant the tabernacles, tents of his palace, his command fortress, between the seas, the Mediterranean Sea, the Dead Sea. The glorious holy mountain, what we call Mount Moriah, where the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque now stand. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. This is when the call is sent out for all of the nations of the earth to come. This is the end of the tribulation period. This is the very latter portion. This is when the vials of wrath are about to be poured out. This is when all the nations answer the call and come against Jerusalem. This is not the beginning of the tribulation period. He collects the greatest army that has ever been assembled on the surface of this earth, and he prepares to attack Israel and utterly destroy them in the Negev wilderness. It says, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. The reason no one can help him is because this is when God cuts loose. This is when you have great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. This is the time when, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. This is the time when every island flees away, the mountains are not found. This is the time there falls upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. This is when men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague there was exceeding great. This is when the greatest, most catastrophic event that has ever occurred in the history of the world since God put man here occurs. It's beyond my wildest dreams and imagination. Its horror cannot even be graphically described with words. I want you to notice why no one can help him. Daniel 12:1, continuing. And at that time, at the time when he sets his tabernacles up on the Temple Mount, when he is in command and gives a command for all the nations of the earth that he has gathered to go against Israel, at that time shall Michael stand up. This is when war breaks out in heaven. The great prince, war is already over actually in heaven. This is where Michael stands up on the earth. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. Look back at Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I will be out of here when this happens. I do expect to go out before the wrath of God is poured out. But I don't expect to go out before the blowing of the seventh trumpet unless I die a natural death. In Matthew 23:37-39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. This is when he made the temple spiritually desolate. This is when, in Daniel 9:27, he causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease. This is when he makes the temple mound desolate. He says in verse 38, Behold, your house is left until you desolate, and it will not be made alive toward God again. Sacrifices will not be acceptable to there at the temple mount until Jesus returns. Notice what he says in verse 39. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's the same thing that Israel said, Hosanna to God in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. When Jesus, sitting on the fold of an ass, made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and they all praised his name, believed he was the Messiah. 2 days later, they crucified him. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He's coming back, and when he comes back, then and only then will worship be accepted from the Jews. Romans 11:25-27. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Romans 11:25-27. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That is the consummation of this age. At the consummation of this age, the vials of wrath will be poured out. The house of God has been desolate ever since Jesus made it desolate when he was crucified. He's the only one that could have made it spiritually desolate. And they rejected him, and he made the temple mound desolate. Spiritually desolate. He has not received any worship from Israel since that time. But when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, that means the ends of the Gentile age, when the fullness of their iniquity has reached a point where God comes back and his son returns, then Israel will be restored. Now notice what he says in Daniel 11:25-27, continuing in verse 26. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now when he says, All Israel shall be saved, remember what he also said through Paul when he said, Who is a Jew? Who is a Jew? He asked the question. He said a Jew was not someone who the foreskin was circumcised. He said it was a circumcision of the heart. And what we're talking about here is a spiritual desolation. And when you talk about all Israel being saved, what does God consider Israel? Believing Israel. And those who do not believe will not be saved and will not be spared. As it is written, There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. It's an unconditional covenant based on belief. Romans 24:21-22-30. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I'm slurring a lot of my words because I'm trying to get to the end of this particular section. Well, we have covered Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, that he is Messiah the Prince, with many for 1 week, the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. In the midst of the week, the 69th, the last week in Daniel's 70 weeks, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, because God would no longer accept them because they cut him off. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate because of the way that the temple worship and sacrifices had been conducted. They were a complete abomination to God. And for the overspreading of abominations, he made it spiritually desolate, and it will remain desolate until he returns. Even until the consummation of what? This consummation of this age, and he returns at the end of this age to bring it to its final consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. At the end of the consummation of this age, God will pour out his vials of wrath upon all unbelievers on this earth, the ones who are spiritually destitute of his Son. Well, you've looked at this. From the commandment of Artaxerxes Longimanus to build Jerusalem in 457 B.C., it was 483 years before Jesus came at age 30 in 27 A.D. and was baptized by John. His earthly ministry lasted about 1,185 days, 3+ years, until he was cut off in A.D. 30 by his crucifixion. Some 40 years later, Titus the Roman prince came, leveled the Temple Mount and the city. Now, this timetable, this clock of Daniel, is not going to start to tick until you actually have a peace treaty signed with Syria and you have peace and security in Israel. From the time that that happens, it'll be about 1,335 days to the end. 483 years were fulfilled when Jesus was baptized in A.D. 70. He fulfilled another 3 prophetic years and 105 days before he was cut off. We only have 1,335 days left to be fulfilled. 1,185 days plus 1,335 days equals 2,020 days. 2,520 days equals 7 years. 483 years plus 7 years equals 490 years equals 70 weeks of years, beginning of the millennial reign. Syria will sign a peace treaty, but will attack Israel 75 days later to begin the last 1,260 days, 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The abomination of desolation will be set up 1,290 days after Syria signs the peace treaty. Now, I realize that all these times and things that I put in here, you would be justified and say, well, when you get down that close, you're going to be able to tell when he's coming. I think at this particular point in time, we will know. Because at that particular point in time, we are not the children of darkness. We are the children of light. And that day should not take us unawares. So when you talk about this last chapter, the last verses, I think this is what it's talking about. Daniel 12, 11 through 12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, shall be 1,290 days. At the time that the Antichrist signs a peace treaty with Israel, the nation of Israel will believe that he is Messiah. And these feasts that they've been celebrating in their homes all these years, they still celebrate the Passover, they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, they use all type of modern adaptations and traditional teachings in them, but they still do it. And the abomination that maketh desolate set up, that's when the Antichrist sets himself up on the Temple Mount, there shall be 1,290 days. That's when he comes back from the time that he signs the peace treaty with them until the time that he has overrun them, goes to Egypt, and comes back, will be 1,290 days. Then he says, blessed is he that waiteth, is still around, and cometh to the 1,305 days. He indicated that some would make it through. And he says, blessed is he that waiteth and is still here at the 1,305 days. Well, that's my interpretation of Daniel 9:27. Am I so much a fool that I believe that all of it is absolutely correct? It might be. But the one part I'm certain of is this. Daniel 9:27, the he in that verse does not refer to a Roman prince that's going to come as the Antichrist. Of that I am positive. Now the other things that have to do with the 1,335 days, the 1,290 days, sure, I can be wrong. But I'm not wrong about the other. Some of the greatest Baptist preachers that ever lived believe that. They were far more intelligent than I could ever hope to be. But I'm an analyst, and I don't like loose ends. And if I don't interpret that to be Christ, I got real serious problems with interpreting the rest of that
unless I twist it around to suit my own convictions. So that's what I believe about Daniel 9:27, and it's time to go home. And the reason all this is important, let's just suppose, just for conversation's sake, that what I've told you about that referring to Christ and not the Antichrist, let's just suppose it's true. Well, if it's true, it could be of great advantage to you. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I believe the other way. I believe that's the Antichrist. Okay, I know what you believe, and I know exactly how to interpret it that way. I don't agree with it at all, but I know it. So if all of a sudden it starts working out the other way, I'm not ashamed to say I was wrong. But at least I've got it up here in this cranium. And now you've got what I taught up here in this cranium. I think before too much longer, I think within the next 10 years, we're going to find out one way or the other. And it may be very amusing. Well, it'll be a horrible time. But it may be very interesting because it may not be quite either way. That's what makes Scripture so interesting. You do the very best you can to interpret it. You pray about it. You ask for discernment, understanding, and wisdom. In the end, you realize that you're a very mortal human being. You've made mistakes in the past. You may make some more. The only person that I have very little use for is someone who will never change their mind about anything, because God's the only one I know that has a right to do that. Ken, would you dismiss us?